My dear faithful, let us begin by considering our Lord's executioners. The Jews, especially the priests and the Pharisees, had longed for this moment. For 3 years they had plotted and planned to bring about the death of our Lord. Ever since Christ had begun to preach, to work miracles, and to comfort the sick, the proud Pharisees had felt their own influence weakening. Our Lord's entire life, especially his public life, stood in opposition to them. Furthermore, our Lord had many times publicly rebuked them for their hypocrisy. And so the Sanhedrin, the high council of the Jewish nation, had decided that Christ must die. The betrayal and the secret arrest, the false witnesses, the mock trial, just what they would say to Pilate, these had all been arranged in order to bring our Lord's death to completion. These men even had gone so far as to demand the release of Barabbas. That meant that a robber and a murderer would be free to roam in their midst. But so great was their hatred for our Savior that they didn't even mind this consequence. When Pilate himself tried to disassociate himself from our Lord's death by washing his hands before them, the Pharisees inspired the people to cry out with them, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." In other words, we accept full responsibility for his death. And not only us, but our descendants too. Perhaps it's hard for us to conceive the hatred and the rage that burned in the hearts of the Jewish leaders, to understand how great was their pride and how totally overtaken they were by jealousy of their own authority. To them, the blood of this innocent victim was a small price to pay in order to maintain their power. The other group of men that helped to put Jesus to death were the Roman soldiers that day. They did not have the same intentions as the Jews and their priests and leaders. You see, they did not have a particular hatred towards our Lord. To the soldiers, he was just another agitator, another criminal being executed. The Roman soldiers in this outpost were known for their roughness and their cruelty, and for just how much they held all the Jews in disdain. To them, cruelty was the order of the day. Torture was a common exercise. And so, for them, it was just another day's business to inflict all the terrors and the torture of crucifixion upon our dear Savior. Crucifixion, my dear faithful, was the most terrible form of punishment in the ancient world. The Roman historian Seneca says that those who received the condemnation to be crucified cursed the very day of their birth. They cursed their executioners, they spat at them, and they reviled those who looked upon them amidst their sufferings. Cicero says that the cries of the crucified were so protracted and so painful to hear that very often the tongues of these condemned men were cut out in order to stop their curses and their blasphemies from rending the air. Now, no doubt the Roman soldiers were expecting similar behavior from our Lord, not knowing who he was exactly. When they nailed him to that cross at noon on the first Good Friday, they were prepared for a torrent and a tumult of cursing and of rage against the executioners. But our Lord, who had been subjected to every kind of indignity, gave them quite a surprise when instead of cries of pain and protest, all they heard coming from his sacred lips were quiet words of prayer and forgiveness. Seeing then the Jews with their hatred and their jealousy, striving to do everything they could to make sure our Lord was put to death that first Good Friday, and the Romans going along with the entire scheme just to fulfill their hatred for the Jews, we see in these two classes of men sinners of every age. Represented by the Jews and the Roman soldiers, we see the sins of malice and the sins of weakness, sins of the heart and sins of the flesh, coldness and cruelty of every kind. The sins of all men were embodied in the Pharisees and the executioners who rejoiced at their apparent victory that day. But through their rejoicing, they heard our Lord say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The Pharisees, proud and arrogant as they were stunned to hear these gentle words fall from his lips. It was a prayer for them, and they knew it. It was a prayer and an excuse, a plea to his eternal Father for mercy on their sinful souls, a reason why mercy should be granted. They know not what they do. Throughout our Lord's public life, the Jews had heard his teaching. They had seen his example. The paralytic at Capernaum, St. Mary Magdalene, the adulteress in Jerusalem, they had all received forgiveness of their sins from the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In addition to forgiving them their sins, all of those who lived in Judea at the time and Galilee and the areas where our Lord preached heard him say again and again, "Love your enemies, do good to them who hate you, pray for them that persecute and calumniate you." It was now, though, that our Lord was no longer teaching with words, but he would teach these Pharisees one last lesson. He would give these executioners something to think about as they sat at the foot of his cross. He would teach by his example. The true meaning of his words now came home to them. If our Lord had at that moment mustered up his divine power to become transfigured and resplendent with glory before them, if he had come down from that cross and in all the majesty of Christ the King pronounced the death and judgment against his executioners, that would have been something to behold. It would have given us an idea of the divine power that he wielded. But that is not what was dearest to his sacred heart. He wanted us to learn by his example the doctrine that he had taught for the greater part of 3 years. He wanted us to see and men for all time to know just what he meant when he said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart." Even now, after all he had suffered at their hands, the false execution accusations the night before, the calumnies at the house of the high priest, the scourges, the thorns, and the cross, he was not angry. He was still on fire with love for them, and he would gladly have brought their souls to salvation and touched their heart by his example if only they would have learned his lesson. He looked to his eternal Father, and he asked not for anything for himself, not to be spared even the slightest pain that he was undergoing, but he looked up to his eternal Father and he asked grace for them. He spoke not as a judge nor as a master, but as the Redeemer that he was. From the height of his cross, he searched his sacred heart for a reason to forgive them. And in his infinite love, he found that reason. They know not what they do. On this Good Friday afternoon, then, let us look at our own conduct. Do we act the same way as our crucified Savior? Perhaps we have suffered persecution from others. Maybe we have enemies, whether they be amongst our family, our friends, or those with whom we have to work. In the world today, for those of us who know, love, and serve God, there is sometimes that feeling that we are surrounded by a mob, just as our Lord was surrounded by the Pharisees and the executioners. But do we get angry with them? Do we get impatient when they call upon us to defend our faith, or when they calumniate us or speak unjustly against us? If they bring inconveniences or hardships into our life, do we seek to overcome these or put them out of our lives as soon as we can, or grumble and complain at the faults and failings of others? Or do we look to them as our Lord looked to the Pharisees and the Jews, the soldiers and the executioners? And do we say from our heart, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? It is quite amazing that even on that day, even amidst all the suffering that our Lord was enduring, how many souls were actually saved by that prayer. St. Longinus was forgiven that day. The centurion was forgiven. The good thief, who up to that moment had been joining in the blasphemies and the cursings, became St. Dismas that day. One of the only members of the human race to ever hear those consoling words while still alive, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. All of these souls received the grace to be converted and to become saints, to enjoy paradise for all eternity, because of that simple prayer from the meek and humble heart of Christ. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The very executioners of our Lord were the first objects of his mercy and his forgiveness. Let us carry this example in our hearts and remember the promise of our Lord that if we forgive others, we too shall be forgiven.